We're in a midst of a series of looking at the church and looking at words that display and explain just very simply what we're to be about and the task of what we're to be doing. And so we've looked at the word exalt. We talked about as a church and as individuals how we're to exalt Christ above all things and that nothing else is to be in our gaze and our priority. We've talked about the word engage last week. We talked about how because Christ has engaged us in a relationship, personal relationship, that out of that and that foundation, we're to engage other people within the church and those who are without or outside the church. We're to engage them. And we talked about how that's to be committed to and to care about. And so today we talk about the third word, and that is the word equip. So if you would stand with me as we read 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. You however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Will you bow with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. That in spite of who we are or what we've done, that you still love us. You sent your Son to die for us. You've shown us your grace and mercy. And God, we read about all of that from your word. And Father, we forget and forgive us for forgetting that your word is a great book that is full of your love and full of stories that tell of your character and nature. But God, it tells us of the salvation that you provide for us. Because without it, Lord, we're doomed. Without your action and your hand in this world and sending your Son to die for us, we're without the opportunity of a relationship with you. You've shown us your love in a passionate and amazing way. And God, we just pray that our lives would reflect that. As we praise you and honor you, as we engage other people, and as we continue in your word so that we may be equipped. Father, I pray for this message. I pray that it will be absolutely and completely full of you and absolutely and completely empty of me. And that our time of worship would continue to be that, a time of worshiping you and you alone. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll do something a little different. Before we dig into this passage and talk about equipping, I want us to read verses 1 through 9 there. So if you still got your Bible open, let's see what Paul said right before this. He says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Sound familiar? He says, have nothing to do with them. Paul's talking about there'll be terrible times in these last days. Folks, we're in the last days because there's not a thing listed there that I don't see today. And with that in mind, Paul charges Timothy and challenges him to remember the things that he has seen and heard and to remember God's word, because those are the things that will equip Timothy for the days ahead. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about how we're equipped and prepared, not only for today, but the days ahead. And before we get into some of the passages this morning, I want to share with you just a couple of things that we have to remember in all this as we talk about equipping. And the first thing is that the church plays an important role in the equipping of people. We play an important role in that. I want you to just listen to what Paul says over in Ephesians. He says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare or equip God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now listen to this. He says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is a beautiful picture of how the church works together how we equip one another and build each other up so that we'll become mature and that we'll become all that God wants us to be in Christ. And it says, not only that, but we'll no longer be tossed back and forth, because what happens in this world is there's this teaching and that teaching, and all of it is from the pits of hell. And it's every little thing you can think of. Every person says, I've got this idea and that idea, but none of it is the truth when you put it up against the Word of God. And so many people in these days, they're just blown back and forth from this to that, this teaching and that teaching, not knowing what the truth is. And as we as a church have to stand for what the truth is and equip our own people at least with what God's Word really says and what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. That's part of our role as a church, is to equip people. Not only that, it's prepare and strengthen our church and to make our church healthy, but also so that its people, when they leave this place, are not blown back and forth and don't lose their footing and their firm foundation in Christ and His Word. It's so important that we take serious the things that we do to equip people. And we do that through worship times, but it's easier done in small groups like Sunday school and discipleship training and RAs and GAs and youth group and word warriors and in our prayer meeting. When we get into small groups, we talk about things and we learn from one another and we read God's Word. We can do some of that here. But folks, it's easier to be equipped not in rows, but sometimes in circles around a table and with other people, a small group. And to be a part of that is important. And if I almost just take a time out and do a little commercial, you're not going to be punished if you don't go to Sunday school or be part of one of our small groups. But folks, it's important. It's my goal that what's happening with the church today. You see, used to Sunday school was that entry door. But somewhere along the way, Brother Jimmy, it sort of changed, isn't it? That worship has become, the worship service has become the first entry, the first touch that people have of the church. And it's our goal to help people move to a smaller group so that they can learn from someone, not just me, but they can hear and interact and have accountability to live the godly life that God wants us to live. See, it's easy to come in and out of a worship service, never have any interaction with people, never have any accountability, and just go and leave just like you were. But when you get involved in the small group, there's something about that, and there's some accountability there, and you learn from one another, and you care for one another, and you minister together. It's a beautiful thing. The church plays an important role in equipping others. And the second thing is this, is when it comes to being equipped and being prepared for today as well as tomorrow, is you got to want that. You got to want that. And if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ personally, then you should want that. You should want to grow in your faith. You should want to move from being the infant blown and tossed back and forth to someone who is firm in their faith. Hebrews talks about this. That's what it says, Hebrews 5:11. So we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. It's important for us as believers, if we're a believer, then we should want to grow in our faith and in our knowledge of God and His Word. It should be a desire for us. And it's my prayer that we become a people who have this just insatiable desire to grow in our faith and to spend time in God's Word and to learn from that. His Word is so important. We're going to talk about that. I'll just tell you, my third point has to do with God's Word. Okay, I'll just give you that ahead of time. And through Paul's words to Timothy this morning, we find three very important equippers that are there for us. They're at our disposal for us to use and to help us prepare and be equipped as we live in this day and as we await for that special day when God returns. We don't know how much time's in between there. And be very weary of people that tell you when they know. Okay? Only God knows when He's going to return. In the meantime, we have business to tend to. We have a task at hand. We're to equip and be equipped. So the first thing I want you to see is you look at Paul's charge to Timothy here in chapter 3, verse 10 of 2 Timothy, is that we can and should be equipped by godly examples. Look at what Paul says. He says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them." Now, Paul stood in stark contrast of the false teachers in the church. People who would say one thing and live another way, but after denouncing the false teachers in previous verses of 2 Timothy, he moves on and he calls Timothy's attention back to his example. Now, some people might think, well, Paul is just tooting his own horn. No, he's not. He's saying, Timothy, you're a young minister of the gospel, you're a young leader in the church, and you need a godly example to follow. Look at me. Look at my life. Look at how I've lived and the things I've been through. Can't you see that my faith is genuine and I'm seeking to live for Christ? And he's trying to help Timothy to see that. And we can discern from the help of the Holy Spirit and God's Word whether or not someone's teaching is valid. But one of the biggest deals is if their living does not match up with their speaking, their talking, that's a good way. That's a good indicator, isn't it? Now, I've used the illustration before and I'll use it again. If you drive back and forth to Little Rock and you see my truck parked at the Visions Nightclub, what you hear me say here will go through one ear and out the other. It'll have no validity. Now, if I'm broken down the side of the road out there, stop and help me, okay? But if I'm parked in the parking lot, and all of y'all, if you've driven that way before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly where I'm going with this. You know, if all you do is, if you go to one of Vivian's Upwards basketball games and you hear me cussing out the referees, that's going to take a lot of weight out of anything I might say, isn't it? You know, the examples that I've had in my life have been great ones. I've had great parents. I mean, I was at a men's thing last night at another church I was invited to be a chili cook-off judge. That was good. That was fun. And I lived to tell about it. But one of the things I was doing as I was sitting there listening to Brother Larry as he spoke is I just began to write down the men that I had as mentors and teachers growing up. And it's amazing, to this day I can still name every Sunday school teacher I had, first through 12th grade, because I had a man who taught me every single year, a different guy in the church I grew up in. Every year I had a different guy, and I can tell you, I think third grade is the one year I can't quite remember. But all through that time, I can name every single one of those men who taught me. And let me tell you something. I don't remember anything any of them ever said, except when Whit Birdsong said, "Now be careful with that coffee. You might dump it in your lap." He was wise, because I did end up dumping it in my lap. But I do remember those men cared about me, and they showed me God's Word, and they taught me and led by example. And I've had friends just since I've become more of an adult, I'm still getting there. I've had friends, you know, I have friends that help me and equip me. I have a wonderful wife, and I still have parents, and I have men in this church who are godly examples to me, and hopefully me to some of you as well. I mean, there's something special about having a godly example in our life. I mean, Paul said it over in 1 Corinthians. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He was not afraid to say, listen, I am trying to follow Jesus Christ. And if you want to see what that looks like, look at me. Now, some of us, we're afraid to say that, aren't we? We're afraid to say, you know, follow me. Because we think in our minds, we know some of the things that we do. But Paul was not afraid to say that. You know, people will fail us at times. Leah talked about that a while ago. We have to be careful not to worship people. But we do need those people in our lives who are godly examples. And you know what? We need to be a godly example. You know, it doesn't matter how old we are. We need examples, godly accountability. But we also need to be a godly example to somebody else. This will help us and it will help the health of our church. Timothy saw Paul live out his purpose to share the gospel with everyone he came in contact with. And Timothy knew of Paul's faith, his patience, his love, his endurance, all the persecutions. And all of these qualities help him to stand up under the pressure to be able to say, you know what, follow me as I follow Christ. I am trying to be a godly example. And Timothy, you need that. And each of us needs that. We need a godly example in our lives, and we can be equipped through those examples. And I learn stuff from people all the time, as you do too. We learn stuff from people throughout our lives. If we'll just allow ourselves, well, we can learn a lot from each other. And it's hard for us, like I mentioned about the small groups, it's hard for us in this setting to learn anything from anybody. But if we get into a small group and we share with us the things that are going on and we share what's going on in our lives, what God's teaching us, we learn from each other. And there's something special about that. So we're equipped by godly examples. Second thing, we're equipped by experience. You know, experience is a good teacher, isn't it? I mean, all of us, if you've ever been in the situation where you're looking for a job, what's one of the things that employers are always looking for? Experience. Why in the world is that? Why? Doug, why do employers look for experience? They won't have to train you, yeah? That means you've had some experience doing what they're already doing. You've been through some of those things. And, you know, we will all experience things in our lives. And if we will allow, sometimes those experiences can be great teachers, can't they? I don't know how many times I locked the keys in my car growing up. There was that one time my dad gave me $10 a week for gas. Now back in the early 90s, that was plenty of money for gas, unless you did a lot of unnecessary driving on the weekends. And I remember one day I ran out of gas on the way home from school, and my dad let me sit there for about 4 hours before he came to bring me some. And his office was just a mile down the road. But he made me sit there, and it was an experience. Now, I don't ever let my tank get below half. I never go anywhere without a full tank of gas, but we can learn a lot. And Paul had been through so much in his life, and Paul's passion to fulfill his purpose, proclaim the gospel, brought all kinds of experiences to his life. But one of the things that he tells us about is it brought persecution. It brought persecution. What's interesting is Paul never backed away from that experience. He said, this is what God has called me to do, and no matter what, I'm going to do it. And he shares with us here. Look back at 12 and 13. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving being deceived. But as for you, continue what you learn. And he talked about how the Lord rescued him from all of these situations. His faith grew. His growth in Christ grew. He grew, and so do we through experiences and in persecutions in life. Because you know what? As Paul reminds us, living for Jesus is not easy. It's not. I mean, we can say we're a Christian, but when we start to live and act like a Christian, and we begin to speak on those convictions that we have from God's Word, folks, we will experience opposition and possibly persecution. It's a given. I mean, we're told in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So as we're persecuted for living our faith, we are in good company, aren't we? We are in good company, and we can stand in confidence knowing that God's going to deliver us through those things, or at least guide us through those things. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Folks, it doesn't matter what situation or experience of persecution comes. If we are living in Christ, it doesn't matter how weak we might seem to be or feel like we are, because we're in Christ, we are mighty, mighty people. We have a great strength that comes from Him. These experiences, these persecutions are important for our lives. James talks about it. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I mean, these trials, these tribulations, these things that we go through in life, they're there for a reason. And it makes me wonder about two things. I have two questions to think about in light of this. Here's the first question. If Christians can expect persecution for their faith, what does it say if a person claiming to be a Christian never experiences persecution? Think about that for a second. God's Word tells us that if we're going to follow Christ, we're going to be persecuted. But if we claim to be a Christian, what does it say if we never experience persecution? Interesting question, isn't it? If our lives as Christians never affect the world, bringing about persecution, then we may need to ask the question about our relationship with Christ to begin with. Second question I have. These trials, these experiences, these persecutions that we face, will I allow them to make me bitter or better? Will I allow these experiences to help grow my faith or push me from God? Because I see that happen. People experience things in life. Maybe it's the death of a family member or some tragedy, loss of a job or some other type of trial or tribulation. And instead of running to God and seeking His help and His encouragement, His strength, they run from God. And we probably all can be guilty of this at times, but folks, there is no greater place to go in time of need than God. And the more we grow in our faith, the more we allow those experiences in life to mold us and shape us into more of the likeness of God's Son, we'll be able to recognize those things when they come. We'll be able to help other people who experience those things, to help come alongside them and help point them to Christ, and not to the world. Because the world will not help us out. The world will not lead us to the place where we need to be. And so as we prepare for today and for tomorrow, we must follow godly examples. But we must also look at these experiences that we have as opportunities to grow. And not to leave. Not to draw back. And finally, the thing that we need to see here is we talk about being prepared and equipped, is that we're equipped by God's Word. I want to tell you this. I don't like rating stuff, especially when it comes to things we read in God's Word. But out of these three of people and experiences, as far as being equipped, God's Word is most important. Because people will fail us. We can misinterpret experiences and things like that, but folks, God's word is there. It's solid. I mean, just listen to what is said here. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. God's word is an invaluable tool in the equipping process of every believer. First and foremost, it is through God's word that we discover, from cover to cover, we see God's hand involved, and we see Him as He says, I don't want to be separated from you, therefore I'm sending my Son to die for your sins so that you may have opportunity for a relationship with me. We see that. We see that played out in God's word as he steps in and sends his Son to die for us. And Timothy heard about the Scriptures. Paul reminds him, you've heard about it. You heard about it growing up. You know, that should be something, if we're a parent, it should be a passion of ours that our children hear God's word as they grow up. So that, you know, later on down the road when they begin to think about it, or somebody asks them, you know, how do you know God's word? They can say, well, you know what? I heard it from my church, but you know what? I heard it from my parents. That should be the first and foremost place, parents, that your children hear about God's word. You know what? It's biblical. That's the way it's supposed to be. They're to hear about God's word from you first and foremost. You know what? That puts some pressure on you. You got to know it yourself. Paul points out that God's word leads us to understand and see our need for salvation. But look at the rest of this. Verse 16. Just to show us how important God's word is. It says, all Scripture, not just some of it, not just a portion of it, all. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God-breathed, God-inspired. It's, as you read this, it's the authors are being filled and led by the very Spirit of God to provide and write this word for us. I love what 2 Peter 1:21 says about God's word. Listen to this. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This word that we have is God-breathed word. It is His word to us. His word to each of us. It is useful for teaching. It's useful for training us. And we have to look at God's word. We have to ask ourselves, what is God's word trying to teach me? What's He trying to teach me from this passage? As you've heard God's word spoken today, you should be thinking even right now and as we head into our decision time, what is God's word? What is Matt trying to get me to do or talk me into doing? What is it that God's word is calling me to do today? That should be a question on every one of our minds throughout every day as we read God's word and we hear God's word. It's useful for rebuking, or the word reproof. In other words, God's word can show us the error of our ways, can it not? It can show us where we've misstepped and where we need to go and help us to understand and see what behaviors we need to change in our lives. Correcting and training, you know, how might this passage correct something that I'm doing wrong? How might this passage train me and prepare me for something that I'm going to face in the future? One person said about concerning the Bible, it says the Bible is not purely a record of the past. In other words, it's not just the history of the Jews and then the church. Rather, every story, every prophecy, every teaching, every admonition, every command points beyond to the author, God, who came to us in Jesus Christ. God confronts us in the pages of His Word, tells us how much He loves us, how we can become His children, and how we can live to please Him. That's what God's Word's about. And we must take it. And it's my prayer, as I said earlier, that we become a people, and we're becoming a people, that spend time in God's Word. And that we feast on God's Word, that we have an appetite for God's Word. And not only that, not just reading it and having some knowledge of it, but actually applying it and living it out. Because it's God's Word that equips us to live for God. It's an important tool in our arsenal and in our equipping. So we're equipped by examples in our lives. We're equipped through experiences. But most importantly, we must be equipped through God's Word. Will you pray with me, please? What we do to prepare for today and what we do to prepare for tomorrow are one and the same. We're prepared by listening to those godly examples and by being a godly example. We're equipped through those experiences in life when we look at them as an opportunity to grow and not an opportunity to just sink back into some other person that we're not. And then we have God's precious Word to equip us. God's Word is so precious to us, so useful to us. It helps us to understand our need for salvation. It helps us to understand who God is, and it helps us to understand how we're to live for Him. And that's where, as some people would say, the rubber meets the road this morning. We can hear it. We can read it. We can sing about it. We can watch it on TV, read it on our phones or on the internet. God's Word is so accessible today for us. I mean, there are many in this world who don't have any access to God's Word, but we do. Many of us have multiple volumes of God's Word on our shelves or beside our beds and in multiple translations. I know I got a bunch. I got a bunch of Bibles. But the key is taking that and those experiences and those examples and allowing them to help us grow into what God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do. Church, that's my prayer for us. That we'll be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do, and we learn about that through His Word. But I want to tell you something. There's some of you this morning that for you, the first step is to, as you hear about how God loves you and wants a personal relationship with you, is that you've come this morning and God's Spirit is talking to you and you've begun to realize that you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, that's where it begins. It's from there that we begin to learn and grow and be what God wants us to be. But we have to know His Son Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no one can come to the Father except through Him. And if you'd like to begin that relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, I want to share with you how to do that. In just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to finish praying. We're going to stand and begin singing, worshiping together. And people throughout this auditorium are going to be praying for you. That if you need to give your life to Jesus Christ and begin that relationship with Him this morning, that you will do so today. For others of you, you think about God's Word, and I want you to think, when was the last time you spent any time in it? Can you even find your Bible when you come to church on Sunday? God's Word is the manual. It's what we need for life. And how can we expect to grow and mature and have a solid faith in this crazy world if we don't spend any time with the book provided by the author of creation? Dear God, please speak to us at this time. Father, if there's any here that just need to pray at the altar, I pray they would do so. Or go and pray with someone else. Or maybe they feel you leading them, God. You leading them to join this church. Maybe that's their commitment this morning. But all of us, as we've heard God's word this morning, we have some business to do. Some application, a decision to make. Maybe it's just a praise of thanksgiving to God, just between you and God, but providing you the guide and direction that you need. God, we love you and we thank you for an opportunity like we have right now to respond to you and to your word. And Father, we just pray that you would bind the old devil right now, because he's right now trying to distract people and keep people from doing what they need to do. And we just pray in the name of Jesus you would bind him from this place. And we pray all this in his name, in Jesus' name, amen.